also is that you just want to be more faithful. You want to, let's go ahead and get our Bibles in the book of Haggai once again. Haggai chapter number 1 is where we're going to start off, but we're going to spend most of the time in chapter number 2. If you were not here this morning, or you were in the back maybe working, we preached a message this morning, Consider Your Ways, Haggai. We talked about how God spoke to the nation, the remnant that had come back from the captivity, and God gave them a job to do. He wanted them to build the temple. Well, instead of building it like he had asked them to do or gave instruction to do, they came up with this idea that it wasn't the right time. And they decided that this is not the time to build the temple. And God wanted them to consider their ways. So he goes to them and he says, look, I want you to consider your value of the work of God, how you value the work of God. And then he gives the illustration of their own house. And he says, look, you have sealed houses. You have first-rate houses compared to my houses lying waste. And he says to him, he says, I want you to consider how you value my work, but I also want you to consider your own pursuits. And then in the chapter, it talks about how it's working out for them. It talks about how they are never having their needs met and how they're never satisfied and how they're never content. And God says, look, I want you to consider this. Consider your ways. Consider how you value the work that I have given you to do, and consider how you value your pursuits. And the theme or the thriving point behind the message is, let's put God first in our lives. You know, let's consider, let's take time, and hopefully today and hopefully throughout the week, as we begin this series in the beginning, the first Sunday in January, let's consider Christ. Let's remember who he is and what he's done for us and what he would have us to do. And as we talked about last week, as we consider our latter end, someday we're going to be at the feet of Jesus. And let's remember that everything we do, what we do today, is going to have determination that day of how we're going to be rewarded or how we will be judged. And now, how do we determine what's going to be like at the feet of Jesus is when we take time to consider what we're doing, considering how we truly value the work of the Lord. We have time to do all these other things. We have time to our own pursuits and our own interests. Are we willing to say, you know what, Lord, I need to put you first. I need to consider. When I consider my ways and I look at this, what am I doing? And we gave that question, that thought, and when we talk about our church and the ministries here at Faith Baptist Church, you know, what would our church be like if everyone acted the way you do, you know, specifically, and if everyone gave the way I gave? And I'm not talking about how much you give, but instead the spirit of giving and the percentage of giving, and how would the song service be like? What would the visitation program look like? What would the serving, what would there be so much still more to do, or would everything be done? We're looking for things to do. What would our church be like if everyone did exactly what you did? Well, they responded. Praise the Lord, they did it. God told them to do something simple in verse number 8. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And that's what they did. And it says in verse number 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the Lord of the people. So God stirred up their spirit. They were excited. They were serving. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So they responded. They considered their ways. They took the challenge that God said. And here we see that this is about 520 BC. If you're looking for specific dates, it's sometime probably around the month of September in that time period, 520 BC. You see about 24 days later, they're there, they're working, they've laid a foundation, they maybe put up some beams that are there. And it says, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month. So they're there, they're serving in the house of the Lord, they're doing. God gave them a challenge and they responded by doing it. So praise the Lord. So things are going well. Now, you know what happens when things start going well? Devil comes out. Devil wants to discourage you. And the sad thing is there's lots of different ways the devil discourages you. There's lots of different ways the devil will try to trip you up. One of the things that happens to many Christians' lives is discouragement. And they lose their strength, they lose their faith, they become fearful. And that's what happens here. It's amazing. The devil probably couldn't have convinced them again, hey, you should be focusing on your house again. You know, you could have this and you could have that. You know, they've dealt with that. They've considered their ways. They turned to God and said, okay, you're right. We put this first. We want to put you first. They get there, they start working. And now the devil doesn't like what's happening, so the devil tries to trip them up. So how does the devil do this? He shows them, hey, look, this little temple that you're building, it's pitiful compared to what Solomon's temple looked like. It is worthless compared to the great glory of the temple of Solomon. And he gets them discouraged. He gets the people there and they're thinking, well, is this even worth it? Now, God has told them to consider their ways. God has told them they need to do this. God tells them, look, you need to put me first. But no. They get discouraged because it's not the same way it used to be. And because it's not the same way it used to be, is it even worth doing? And this is a dangerous thing because you'll hear that sometimes in churches. You don't know how quick a wet blanket can throw on a work of God when someone comes up and says, well, I remember how it used to be. It's sort of like this fish story sometimes. You know, they used to do this, or they, you know, and really the fish is about this big. And they say, well, it used to be this big. Sometimes it's an exaggeration. And we got to remember this. The title of tonight's message is Do Not Get Discouraged, or Don't Get Discouraged. Remember what we talked about. This is God's church. This is God's house. This is God's work. If God's given us something to do, you know, it's whether it's building the little temple or the less beautiful temple than it was Solomon's. If that's what God's given us to do, we should praise him for that and not get discouraged in it. But, you know, they're looking at it and they're shaking their heads and they're like, they're crying because of the fact they remember the glory of the old temple and the beauty of the old temple. And they remember how things used to be. You know what they're doing while they're crying? They're not working. You know what they're doing when they're focused on what they can't do? They're not getting anything accomplished. So tonight, we like to look at this, just don't get discouraged. Consider your ways. Consider how you value the work of God and consider what your pursuits are and consider how things are working out. And if God has called and give you specific things to do, instead of comparing to how God's blessed for someone else in the past, compare to what God's called you to do and being faithful to that. So let's jump in here. Haggai chapter number 2, it says, in the 7th month and the 1 and 20th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and that Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? He's saying, does it look to you like it's nothing compared to the other one? Yet now, be strong. What does God say? That God says, hey, look, if you can't make it like you used to, just don't do it anymore. Does he say give up? He doesn't. What does he tell him to do? He says, be strong. He says, do not let fear stop you from serving. Could God give him the gold? He sure could. Could God give him the silver? He could if he wanted to. But God's trying to teach him something here, and he wants him to learn. He says, be strong. Let's keep on going. It says, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people. So he says to three different people, to Zerubbabel, who is the religious leader of the day. You see, as a Joshua, excuse me, Zerubbabel, the governor of the day, and the high priest, Joshua. And he says, be strong to all the people of the land, save the Lord, and work. He says, don't let these things stop you. Hey, it's not like it used to be. It's not done the way we used to do it. It's not in such a great rate or a great amount. It's not, he says, look, do the work. Let God, this is God's house, this is God's time, this is God's work, and however he chooses to bless, and whatever he chooses to do, then we should be faithful. He says, look, you do work, be strong, all you people of the land, save the Lord, and work, for I am with you, save the Lord of hosts. And look what it says in verse number 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. He says, look, this is the promise I gave you. And look what he says, so my spirit remaineth among you. He says, my spirit is with you. Be strong and work. And he says, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And this is beginning to get into prophecy and what things are going to be like in the end times and a millennial kingdom, I believe. And I will shake all nations, and desires all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, verse number 9 is interesting. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Now, once again, the people that are standing there, it says in verse number 3, are looking at the comparisons, and these are the older people. They're remembering. Once again, it was 70 years of captivity. So they would have been young children. They had these are the gray-haired ones, and there's the ones that are weeping. And they're remembering. They're the ancient, it's called. And they're remembering, and they're comparing it, and they're weeping because of the fact it's not going to be as good as the other one. And they're saying, and he's saying here, God is saying, and I love this, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Now, some commentators think this is referring to also they viewing this second temple built as something that is all the different temples that are going to be built. In my opinion, what they're saying is in this temple, you know what comes in this temple that wasn't in the other temple? Jesus comes. And so they're saying that Jesus is going to be there. Jesus never visited Solomon's temple, but Jesus is going to be. Now, I know what some might say. Well, when they built the temple, Herod renovated it later on. And yes, probably around 20 BC, they began the renovation something, but it was still the part of it. And that's what I think they're referring to here. Either way, he's saying, don't dismiss what God can do just because of the way something looks. Don't just throw it out the water and say, hey, we shouldn't work, we shouldn't do it. Don't get discouraged and work the Lord, because who knows what God can do with a little bit. Think about this, five loaves and two fishes. If that boy would have said, well, I see the 5,000 that are here, and comparing to my lunch, it's nothing, it's worthless. Why should I even try? And that's what the devil tries to do. He's trying to sell them a lie. He's trying to tell them, look, get discouraged. Don't do the work. Just go back to the things you can control. Take care of your house. Make sure you're taken care of. The work of God is too hard. It's too much. And God says, be strong and work. And it keeps on going. And I love it when it says, the latter house shall be greater than the former. It says, in man's eye, that other temple was something spectacular. But in God's eyes, he sees something he's going to use in a special way. You think about it, in man's eyes at that temple, after Solomon had built it, we've been learning on Wednesday nights in 2 Kings and 1 Kings, there wasn't a lot of worship sometimes amongst that temple. But they're saying there's a day that Jesus is going to come into that temple, save the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, save the Lord of hosts. And the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd day year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying. So this is another message that's given. It's given to the priest. We're not going to focus on that tonight. Don't know if we're going to do that maybe next week on Sunday evening, or if we're just going to leave that part alone for right now. But I did not want you to leave tonight or today thinking, okay, they got their hearts right. They're serving God now. They've considered their ways and they've changed. Everything's going to be perfect. Doesn't happen. The devil gets in there and the devil tries to discourage you. So maybe you've been considering your ways today a little bit and thinking about it. And maybe during the invitation time, God worked on your heart about a couple things. Don't get discouraged. Be strong and work. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your help. Lord, help us to really, truly consider how much we value your work. I think most of us would agree we should put you first. I think we all agree. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But many times we don't recognize that we're not doing that. And that's why the challenge came, Lord, for these people in this day to consider their ways, consider how it's working out, consider their own houses, consider the work of God, consider their other pursuits. And Lord, help us to see that as we're meditating on it. Send the Holy Spirit of God to work mightily in our hearts about putting you first and seeking first the kingdom of God and allowing you to add all these other things to us. Lord, tonight, help us not to understand that the devil tries to discourage us. Help us not to see that. Help us not be a part of that. Help us to be willing to remember what your word says, that we should be strong, that we should remember your promises, and that we should remember that you can do more than we could ever ask or think. Lord, work in our hearts tonight. Each person here tonight, Lord, whatever might be going on in their hearts and their minds, help them to be clear in the hearing what your spirit is trying to say to them. In Jesus' name, amen. When I think about this thought about not becoming discouraged, there's some verses that come to mind. First one is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So if you're serving the Lord, guess what? It's not in vain. Once again, you need to consider your ways, make sure we're doing it with the right heart. Remember last week, we talked about that at the judgment seat of Christ and talked about the wood, the hay, and the stubble, that there's people who do things for the wrong motives and the wrong reason, and they're not going to amount to anything. It doesn't matter how big and how beautiful the palace or the temple looks, if it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, God's saying, hey, I can use this over here too. And here, another verse, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, some famous, biggest, strong verses. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Next phrase, and let us not be weary. Let us not be weary in what? Let's not be weary in well-doing. Do you ever get tired? Yes, people get tired. They get discouraged sometimes in well-doing. Why is that? Because they're comparing what they think it should be, what they think should happen. And when they don't get it the way they think it should be, guess what's going to happen? They become discouraged. Those men, they saw that and they were remembering the temple and they were remembering that, like, this is not going to be anything like we think it should be. Once again, God's coming and saying, this is what I'm doing here. Get on board. I think about the story Elijah comes to mind. Elijah, I believe, when he went to Mount Carmel and called fire down from heaven, I think he was expecting countrywide revival. I think he was thinking, and he had people there, and they were all saying, yes, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord, he is God. He was thinking everybody's going to have revival. Everything was going to be great. And he goes and hears from Jezebel, and Jezebel says, you know, I'm going to kill you. And he runs out there and he says, look, I'm not any better than my fathers. You just go ahead and kill me. He got one thing right. You're not any better than your fathers. God's got a plan. God's got something he's doing. And God just allowed fire to come down from heaven. And he's discouraged because it didn't turn out the way he thought it should. And Christian, today, what God is calling us to do, he's calling us to be strong. He's calling us to work. He's not calling us to figure out how to get it done or what it should look like in the end. Because you'll see in the Bible over and over and over in scriptures, it's not usually the way that people planned it out to happen that way. Usually God throws in some type of curveball, or God uses somebody nobody else would expect. He's asking for us to be faithful and do the work of the Lord and to be strong. Even if the temple isn't turning out the way you think it should and doesn't look as good as you think it should, that's God's house and that's God's business. All he's saying he wants you to do is to be faithful and do the work. Let's go to Ezra. Ezra is a contemporary of Haggai here, and you're going to get to see a little bit more about during this time what's going on. Ezra chapter number 3. Ezra is right before Nehemiah. So everybody knows, we figured out where Haggai this morning was, so we got there. So Ezra, chapter number 3. Let's look here, verses 8 through 13. It gives a little bit more commentary about what's happening at this moment in time. The foundations of the temple have been laid. Probably a couple of the posts have been laid. They've gone in those 24 days. They've gotten the lumber out of the mountain, like God said. They're bringing it down to make construction and bringing it to work. It says, now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, the remnant of their brother, and the priests said, and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem. And appoint unto the Levites from 20 years and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Joshua with his sons and brother and Kemuel and his sons and the sons of Judah together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. Now listen what they started doing. Verse number 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and Levites, the son of Aspa, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. So they're excited. They've laid the foundation. They haven't even started putting any walls up yet, and they are just pumped. It says, verse number 11, they sang together by the course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endure forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They had finally gotten out of their houses and done what God has called them to do. And believe me, when you're serving the Lord, there is a time of praise when you're doing what God's called you to do and you see God accomplishing something. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chiefs of the fathers who were ancient men, and I don't think anybody really wants to be called ancient probably, but ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So you see what's going on here. There's some that's excited about doing God's work, and there's some that's mourning because it's not going to be like the other one. Let's go back to Haggai now and look at this. And you say, Pastor, what about those ancient men? And maybe they were weeping because it wasn't going to be as good anymore. And I understand what you're saying there. And they were remembering and longing for old times, longing for old times of way things got God used to bless and the way that God used to work. But don't you think it would be wonderful to be excited about that day and time when God's working and God's moving? Having faith in God, believing and trusting in God, not just remembering of the yesteryears, because that's what many people do. I remember how it used to be, and if it's not going to be the way it used to be, I don't want to be a part of it. It's not found in scriptures. Even the scripture is saying here, and he's the one that says in verse number 3, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? He says, in your eyes, you look at this and you think that what is being done is nothing. And what God sees some people who are being obedient. God says in chapter number 1 that he was going to be pleased with it. In chapter number 1, he says, if you go up to the mountain, he says, I'll take pleasure in that. There are people crying because it's not what they think it should be, and it's not turning out the way it should be. But God says, hey, I'm going to take pleasure in this. I'm going to get glory in this. And we got to remember, if we're going to do the work and we're going to do what God's called, God can be pleased with whatever it is that we're doing if he's called us to do it. Now, like I said, you want to throw a wet blanket on a celebration? You want to throw a wet blanket on something that someone is trying to accomplish for God? Have somebody start saying, well, I remember what it used to be like. That person probably hasn't done anything for the Lord for a long time. And if you remember what it used to be like, what are you doing today? I know Brother Gregor used his illustration, something that John R. Rice used to say about soul winning. At least that's when I remember hearing him talk about it. He says, it's something, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he says, you might not like the way I do it, but the way I do it is a lot better than the way you don't do it. And it's the idea, hey, look, you might not like the fact that I confront people and I talk to people about salvation, but what I am doing is a whole lot better than what you're not doing, because you're not doing anything. And John R. Rice used to have a passion for souls, and he used to have a desire for that. And it's sort of like those that are there, and they're there, those ancient men, if you go back, the reason why they are in so much trouble today is because of the fact that they didn't do what they were supposed to. I mean, there wasn't many people living for God when they went out into captivity. And these people were Levites. These people were priests, if you read on that. And there are people rejoicing and excited in the work of the Lord. And they want to do things. And they have just laid a foundation. And they're shouting. They're excited that God has given them something to do. And so what happens now? The devil's trying to get people discouraged. We got to remember what it really truly is. There's a discouragement that is happening here. The Lord is saying in the earlier chapter, if you'll just go, you'll just put forth some effort, you'll get the wood, you'll build the house, I'm going to take pleasure in it, I'm going to get glory out of it. They're doing what the Lord has told them to, and the Lord is with them. If you go back, you see in verse number 14, it says they did the work of the Lord, and that the Lord stirred up the people. God's the one that stirred them up to do it. And then there's people who are just thinking at that and say, it's not going to work, it's worthless. It says there's nothing. And those are those that are not going to do anything. Let's look at three things today. There's three things I want you to see in here. And I want you to remind you of something. It's God's work. God over and over in the scriptures tells us to be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is a wile of the devil here, trying to convince the people here, hey, they're excited about doing the work of the Lord. They're excited about laying the foundation. There are other people saying, oh, it's nothing. It's not going to work. It's not going to matter. And God sees it in a different way. He says, look, don't worry about what the other people are saying. Be strong. Don't fall into the wild endeavor. Don't be sucked into this. Do the work of God. Don't be discouraged because it's not the way it used to. God says over and over, be strong. Look what it says in verse number 4. Yet now be strong. You go down a little bit later. He's talking to Joshua. Be strong. Go down a little bit later. Be strong. He says at the end of verse number 5, fear ye not. First thing I want you to think about, the ways not to get discouraged, is by being strong and not afraid. By being strong and not being afraid. Don't buy into the lies of the devil. Think about what God says. I want you to be strong. Strong in what? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in His might. Be strong in His work. How can we be strong? It's because we know God keeps His promises. Be strong in the Lord. Think about that. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. He's saying, look, you need to watch, you need to be observant, you need to be spiritually alert that these that are mourning, that those are, that are trying to discourage you, those that the devil is using to try to dissuade you from doing the work he's called you to do, be strong, quit you like men, be strong, and do the work God's called you to do. You say, well, Pastor, how can you be so confident? How can you be so sure? Is because God keeps His promises. Look what it says in verse number 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. He's saying, look, the reason why you can be strong and do work is because what I promised you back then is the same promise today. And the reason why we continue on working, whether it doesn't look the way we would like for it to, if things are not turning out the way it was supposed to, that's what God comes to Elijah back in that story. And he says, what doest thou here? What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? I never told you that revival was coming. I never told you that Jezebel was going to turn. I never. But Elijah thought it should look like something else. These ancient men thought it should be something better. It should be something different. And all they're doing is just being faithful that moment in time. They got it right. And so many times people discourage people that are trying to do the work of the Lord. Well, I think it should be done this way. And I think, are you doing anything? But instead, you know, it's if you have a better way, then get started and do it, but don't try to discourage other people. So the first thing is be strong. And the reason why we can be strong is, second thing is, God keeps His promises. It says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And then He says, so my spirit remaineth among you. I love that. He's saying, my spirit's there with you. As you go and do that work. Now remember, there's a different dispensation here. This is the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit of God would come upon a group of people, would be there, and it would be taken away at times. Now, inside the church age, we have the Holy Spirit of God as a present possession. He lives within us. But he's saying, look, as you're doing the work of God, he says, my spirit's there with you. Other people do not like this. Other people might not understand. Other people might become discouraged, and the devil might use those to try to discourage you. But remember, I keep my promises. We can be strong because God said, I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it's covetousness. I know we always want God to do something great. We always want God to do something amazing. But aren't we thankful when God works in our hearts and works in our midst? And what do we hear about the choir song tonight? And it talked about whether in the night or in the morning. It talked about the presence of God and the peace that we can have. And are we satisfied? It says we can be content. We can be content. Now, we should always want to grow in our grace and knowledge of the Lord. And we should always want God to be working and God moving. But are we content saying, okay, God, you have promised me you're never going to leave me, you're never going to forsake me, and even though this work is not turning out the way I would like to see it done, and it might not be as good as we like for it to be, we're trusting in you, and we're faithful. We're not going to let our fear overcome our faith, but instead we're going to keep on working because we believe we have done what you've called us to do, and we are doing what God has called us to do. Think about that. His promises. We can be strong and we can work. In this day and time, there are those there, and you see the scene. There are people there rejoicing, got people weeping. It says it was so loud that you couldn't distinguish between the weeping and the rejoicing. And it was such a ruckus that it came to the point that they couldn't even understand it. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We serve a God that cannot lie. And our Bible is filled with promises. Never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to, you know, give you his spirit for them who ask him. You know, so many wonderful, great promises in the Bible. Why should we be discouraged? What should we get discouraged about? Why should we worry? He's promised us. He encourages. He encouraged Joshua, be strong. And Timothy, Paul was encouraging him, be strong. And here he's saying to this group of people, be strong and work, because I'm going to keep my promises. My spirit is with you. And the amazing thing about God is, could he have created a temple just like that? He could have. Could he have made it more fabulous than Solomon's temple? He sure could have. But that's not how he chose to work. There's faith there and believing. I am doing what God's called me to do, and I'm going to continue on serving and continue on serving, because God keeps his promises, and God has told me that he is faithful, and God has told me that I will receive fruit, and I will receive, as I'm faithful, whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. The third thing is, not only does he tell us to be strong, and not only does he tell us God keeps his promises, the third thing is God can do more than we could ever imagine. I like that part because I've seen it so often in scriptures. Missionary Alan Berry was talking to me the other day, and he says, I heard you say something. He says, when you pray, God either says yes, no, or wait. I still think that sounds right, but he says there's four things. He says yes, no, wait, and then the fourth category is I got something better for you. And he told me the story about how he was praying and he was asking God for something, and how instead of yes, no, or you got to wait, he says, here, I got something even better for you. And the reality is, in my mind, that's just an extra special yes. But the reality is, God's got something better planned for us than we ever think. And that's what he's saying about this temple. I mean, they're over there and saying, oh, that's nothing in comparison. There's no way God can use that. There's no way God can do anything with that. That's nothing. I was there when they first laid it, and God says, the glory of this ladder is going to be, the glory of this one's going to be greater than the ladder. He's saying, I can take this and I can use this for even greater glory. I don't know about you, that encourages me. Encourages me, someone who is definitely not what I like to be. Not what I like to be, more eloquent, of course. What I like to be able to speak better. What I like to have people laugh at my jokes. Yeah, I like to have all those things. But I'm thankful when I see that, hey, if I'm just going to be faithful and work and do what God's called me to do, he can use me for his glory and for his honor. And think about what the verse says, that famous verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. It's not about me. It's about the power that worketh in us. It's about the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what the Lord was saying here. He says, my spirit's among you. Just like I covenant with you back when you left Egypt, if you're going to live for me, you're going to do what's right, my spirit's going to be there. It's going to be there, and it's among you. Stop trying to figure out what it's supposed to look like. Stop trying to figure out what the end result's supposed to be. Work. Be strong and work. And remember that God can take our little bit of work and make it so much more than we ever thought. I think about that little boy with his lunch. There's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. His eyes probably was popping out when he started taking this and this and this and started growing. And you can imagine what it was like when they took those 12 baskets. I don't know. You hear preachers say you want the 12 baskets, one for each disciples. One preacher says, the disciples wouldn't have got it. They would have taken it back to the little boy. It was his lunch anyway. You can imagine what their mom would have looked at and said, where'd all this come from? You know, so this is my 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is what God can do with when I'm willing to surrender. And it's not just there. You look throughout the scriptures and how God can take something that might seem meaningless or little compared to some people's big wood, hay, and stubble piles, and God used it for something special. He says, verse number 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. And I think that's saying that someday Jesus is going to be in this house. Verse number 7, and I will shake all nations, the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And I think there is two different things. There is a prophetic nature there, and when it talks about the peace that's coming, so I understand what they're saying in the progression of the temple, because the temple was destroyed in AD 70, and also is going to be rebuilt at, you know, during the right before the tribulation time, and then the it's going to be rebuilt in the millennial kingdom, all those different things. I understand what they're saying, but he's saying, live with this in perspective. Someday, someday, I'm going to fill this house of glory. And if we live with that in mind, live with the latter end, and we're considering the latter end someday in the future, if we live that way, hey, God's the one in control. God's the one knows what he's doing. And someday God's going to take this whole earth and fill it with glory. And you know, someday he is going to rule and reign. He's Jesus. He's King, King of kings, Lord of lords. And he's going to reign someday if we live our life looking at it that way. And that's what he's encouraging these people with. He says, now, don't get discouraged. That's one of those wiles of the devil. He's those lies of the devil. You need to cast down that imagination. Any high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, it says casting down those imaginations, getting rid of those. I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to be overwhelmed. I don't need to be fearful or worried because my work doesn't look like the way somebody else is supposed to look like. I need to serve God and be faithful where God has placed me and faithfully serve and faithfully continue on doing and doing and doing despite what man may say. I think about characters in the Bible that gave their lives but never saw great results. You think about Jeremiah, 40 years. He wept. It wasn't the fact they didn't care. 40 years, faithfully preaching and preaching and preaching. Not one convert's mentioned. Not one time does it say that someone, to my knowledge, of course, Brother Barry's probably going to probably tell me later about a different one. I'm just picking. But, you know, that you didn't see much turning back to God. But God said, before you were born, I knew you. God says, before you were ever created, I called you to be a prophet. Did he call him to do great and mighty and majestic things that the world would sit up and take notice and say, wow, look what God did with him? No, he called him to be despised and rejected, thrown into a pit, captured, his material to be ripped up, to not have anybody respond. So why would God call him to? God had a plan and a purpose for him. He even tried not to do it, but there was something inside him that says, I got to do this. This is what God created me to do. So when you're considering the work of the Lord, these are three things God says you need to do not to get discouraged. Be strong, not fearful, be strong. Remember, God keeps his promises. Remember that God can do more than we ever imagined. I like the example there. He says, you don't think there's anything special about that house, but he says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. He says, it's going to be something even better. It reminds me of a story about an old preacher in Scotland who turned in his resignation at the end of the year. The elders asked him why. He said, because we only had one conversion this year, and it was just a little one named Bobby Moffat. And the Bible says, not the Bible, but the story goes on. He says, the discouraged preacher could not see that Bobby Moffat would someday become Robert Moffat, the great missionary to Africa. And so how could he ever see that? It's through the eyes of faith that we see that God can work and God can move. The amazing thing is, you look across this room, you look across this auditorium, there's people that God can use. There's people that God can make something special out of. That's why we work by faith. We live by faith. When you go knock on a door, you don't do it because it's just because it's a great commission. When you're handing that track out to someone who needs Christ, you never know, that next person might be the next whoever your favorite Christian is, the Apostle Paul, Billy Sunday, you know, whatever the preacher is that you think about, or the missionary or the teacher that impacted your life, you know, whatever it is, that's what God can do. He can take and use that more than we would ever expect, ask, or think. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and do the work. There are going to be people out there, and I don't think these ancient men were trying to cause a problem. They were just didn't realize what they're doing is being in discouragement. Let's encourage each other in the work for the Lord. Let's say, if God's called us to do it, I'm going to do it with all my might. I'm going to do it the best I can. Now, should we consider our ways? We should. Should we think about that former temple and think, man, because of sin and because of what's happened in this world, that we don't have that was there for God earlier. And God is allowing us to build this again. So we need to make sure we're going to do our best to live for him and be holy and be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So what happened over there doesn't happen here. You know what happens here? It gets torn down later on. But is that their responsibility? Their responsibility was to build. And when they considered their ways, they responded. They said, okay, I see my work, my value of the work, Lord, I can compare it to my own personal interests. And yes, I need to forget about my personal interests and put God first in my life. Does it mean we can't have any personal interests? Of course not. If you're here this morning, you understand the message. And I need to consider how it's turning out. But when you're serving the Lord and doing the best you can, there are going to be people that, whether they know it or not, they're going to be a discouragement to you. There are going to be people out there that tells you, there's no sense doing it. It is as nothing compared to before. But remember, as we learned in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And it says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in, what's that next word? It's not in vain. It's not worthless in the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Be strong. Remember, God keeps his promises. Remember, God can do something amazing with what we would think and something that's small. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed.